to know that your baby boy will one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you perfect lamb, this sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Praise God, that was good.
Oh, yeah.
Who was that singer?
Mark, L-O-W-R-Y. His real name is Mark.
Oh, okay.
Was that Mark Lowry?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it sounded like Mark Lowry, perhaps.
It is so, the slowness of that gives you time that, you know, you usually hear that song a lot faster.
Yeah.
But the slowness of it gives you time to meditate on what
right.
It's
right.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Y'all know the story behind that song? Mark Lowry, he was actually like the class cut up. Anyway, he was so ADD in school. I mean, he needed a special teacher to take care of him. Just funny guy. He was always doing the funny stuff. He got the words of that song. But he had to wait 10 years to get a melody to go with it. A guy wrote a melody for him.
Wow.
He sat on those words for 10 years, waiting for the right melody.
Wow.
And met a man, got a, gave him the melody. So, anyway, it's just, fire God, wait till his time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like what you were saying about we need to grow in faith. We need to grow in faith, and I got to pondering about that. Growing in faith. Do you know of anyone who, instead of growing in faith, got weak in faith as time went by? I'm talking about recent, you know, somewhat recent. I don't want to put anybody down, but, you know, Paul Roberts started off faith healing, right?
Yeah.
Divine healing. Mm-hmm. But toward the end, he uses a lot of funds to build a hospital.
He was a lot of what now? I didn't hear
you. He used a lot of funds.
Blow your trumpet. You got a trumpet.
He used a lot of funds to build a hospital.
Yeah.
A regular hospital with doctors and nurses and all that. What happened there? Am I missing something? I don't know the whole story there, I guess. You know, James Robinson, real popular guy, studied under Kenneth Hagin, right? He's one of Kenneth Hagin.
James who?
James Robinson.
James Robinson?
He studied under Kenneth Hagin?
I'm not sure.
No, uh-uh.
No, he didn't?
Uh-uh.
Oh, I thought he did. Okay.
No.
Anyway.
He was Baptist, wasn't he? Southern Baptist.
Yeah.
He was Pentecostal, too.
James Robinson Pentecostal?
He talked to gifts.
Yeah.
He walked in a place and everybody received the Holy Spirit.
James Robinson.
Okay.
The one that has the little show.
Yeah, he got a show on TV. Yeah. And he promotes.
I think he started out maybe in Baptist.
He probably did.
But, you know, he promotes wellness.
Yeah.
You know, foods and herbs and stuff like that on his show. I'm going,
yeah.
You know, we need to grow in faith, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I want us to grow in faith.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, some people start off real big and then they kind of go away from it.
Well, where's the balance between eating well and faith?
No,
does God want us to eat junk food all the time?
I don't know, probably not. I know I get sick of it after a while, but that's a good, that's the thing I'm kind of struggling with. What is that balance? Mm-hmm. What is that balance? Are we walking in faith, or is it something else? Mm-hmm. You know? So I don't know. I have something I struggle with, you know? Something I struggle with. I don't have an answer for that. Yeah, if y'all got an answer for me. I represent that, see if y'all got an answer for me. But anyway, I wanted to do something a little bit different. We've been talking in John 13, 14, 15, and what I want to do is take a break and not go into the next part in John 15, which is talking about some of the persecutions that the disciples are going to face. But I wanted to look at, if I could, as we approach Christmas, some of the prophecies of the Messiah in the Old Testament. And we may look at some that maybe you're not quite so familiar with. I think we're all familiar with the suffering servant in Isaiah, you know, some of the others. But maybe we'll look at some that we might not be quite so familiar with. It might be something that we can get from this, okay, as we approach the Christmas season. So, as we are actually in the Christmas season, but as we approach Christmas. So if you would, look at Genesis 3:15 with me. And this is somewhat more familiar than some of the others I'll bring up. But I wanted to bring this up because I like it. I like this one. And so it says in Genesis 3:15, and this is in a modern translation, BBE, it says, "And there will be war between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. By him will your head be crushed, and by you his foot will be wounded." So King James reads slightly different, use slightly different words there, but it's basically the same message there. So I want to ask you a question. Who is talking here? Someone's talking and saying this. Who's talking?
Father God.
God's talking. All right? Good. But who's he talking to?
The serpent.
He's talking to the serpent, right? Mm-hmm. The serpent who has deceived Eve, mm-hmm. right? They got her to eat of the fruit of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil that she shouldn't be eating. Mm-hmm. And Adam, too. So they both eaten of the fruit, and now he's talking to the serpent. Mm-hmm. Who's the woman he's talking about here?
Eve.
Eve, mm-hmm. right. It's Eve. So it says here, your seed, what does your seed mean? What does seed mean for the woman? The woman, he says, between your seed, her seed, what is your seed? The serpent seed, is that what he's talking about?
It's his type.
Huh?
His type, his offspring.
His offspring, the serpent's offspring?
Goes under his control.
Oh, under his control.
What never did you say,
Father? This seed that was the prophecy of Christ.
It's two, the spiritual and natural. Naturally, he's talking to the animal, the snake, and the offspring of the snake.
Yeah.
How God put it under the foot of man. See the woman. And then spiritually, those that follow Satan, you know, versus those who follow Jesus.
Right. Okay. The followers, the mm-hmm. seed. Okay. So when it says her seed, who are they talking about? Who said? Her seed.
Prophecy of Christ.
Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. We take that to mean Christ, right? Mm-hmm. That's because we read the rest of the book. But if you were just reading this and had not read the rest of the book, you would think mm-hmm. her sons, right?
Yeah. Man and snakes.
And the snake sons. Yeah. All the snakes from then on out, right? Because yeah. there's two ways to look at this. There's the literal way, the physical way,
yeah.
right? And then there's a symbolic or a spiritual way, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, she took it as it was going to be the son that she was going to. Every woman that had a son always said, I got a male child. They wanted a male child
right. mm-hmm.
because of the prophecy here.
Yeah, right.
She said, oh, God then gave him another male child. He might be the one mm-hmm. that would deliver us. They were always looking for a deliverer. Even Mary, some people say it was a surprise for Mary. Mary said, be it unto me. It wasn't a surprise. All through the generations, they had looked for this mm-hmm. seed for a woman.
Yeah.
But Mary said, I just thought you was going to go to somebody of a higher and not somebody such a low estate. Mm-hmm. They were, every woman, they didn't even count. You know, Adam had daughters, but they wouldn't count the daughters. They just count the males because mm-hmm. they were male was very important because that seed, they were looking for that seed that they thought everybody that a male. That's the reason the king killed all the children, all the male children, not the girls, but all the male children mm-hmm. because they were trying to kill out that seed. They was yeah. trying to find that seed. Mm-hmm.
The enemy took it serious.
Satan
took it serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't know who the seed of woman was.
Right.
But the other thing that the Jewish nation had looked for generations was the prophecy said that I will come and dwell in you because only the priest, the king, and the prophets, the Holy Spirit would come up on them mm-hmm. and lived again. Mm-hmm. And they wanted that. So mm-hmm. when he told them to go to the upper room, they knew exactly, just like they knew about the seed. They knew about the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling the individual, not the priest, the king, and the prophet. So those mm-hmm. two things the Jewish nation had looked mm-hmm. for thousands of years. Those two things were mm-hmm. their expectation as God's children.
Amen. Amen. Well. Everybody is familiar with this. So it says here, let's see, by him your, will your head be crushed, and by you his foot will be wounded. So what's the literal interpretation of this, about this crushing the head and striking or bruising the heel? What is this, what's the literal interpretation? What do you think it would be, the physical interpretation of that?
The physical? A man sees a snake, he crushes his head.
Yeah, okay.
This is also a lesson.
That's just a natural reaction to a snake, isn't it?
It teaches us how to stop Satan. God gave us authority over him, and we stop him. Yeah. You don't have to fight his foot soldiers all day. It's him.
Why was there such a reaction when Moses was told to pick up the snake by the tail?
That's not the first example.
You know, because Moses, that's a snake. Mm-hmm. Crush his head. I don't forget the tail. I'll pick up the tail. He turned around and bite me, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to crush the head. You know.
Lord.
So God had to do something special with Moses. Yeah. Because the natural reaction is kill that snake. And the only way to kill a snake is
the head,
right? Mm-hmm. You've got to kill that head.
Yeah.
All right. So, and we've talked about the symbolic interpretation of the seed of head and foot. What's the symbolic interpretation of this head and foot thing? What do you think?
Authority.
Oh, okay.
That's our first reference. Well, that's the third reference of authority, isn't it? The first one was in the, he said, have the, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. Okay. I mean, God gave man all authority over all the beasts of the field. And now he's saying you have authority over this situation.
And everything that creeps upon the earth.
Mm-hmm. There you go. It's a, kind of a reference right there to the serpent, right?
Mm-hmm.
The serpent creeps on the earth, right? On his belly.
Yep.
All right, good.
It also shows he was stripped because the serpent had limbs, and now he has no limbs. He has to slither and eat dust.
Okay, so that's the physical interpretation. Now, what about the spiritual interpretation?
Well, Satan was once a thriving angel, and now he has to slither and eat dust on our feet.
Okay, he was one of the top guys up in heaven, right?
Yeah.
He got demoted real quick, didn't he? To the lowest place.
Mm-hmm.
And what did God do with Satan? What kind of lowest place did he get put to?
The bottom, the side walls of the bottomless pit.
Okay, bottomless pit.
That's his home.
And also, it also says that Satan is cast down to what?
Hell.
Earth.
Oh yeah, earth.
Remember?
Before that.
Yeah.
He's cast down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? When Jesus was being tempted, who came to him? Satan came to him, right?
Yeah.
Satan came to him on earth, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a word that appears twice in the Bible. It's called tohu vabohu, which means an utter, reckless wreck. One place it said that God did not create the earth, tohu vabohu. And in another place it said the earth became tohu, vabohu. It was the fall of Satan that destroyed the earth.
That's true.
So science and the Bible agree with each other, if you know the Bible.
Ah, okay.
And he was also under a curse. The earth was cursed, and he had to eat the dust of the earth. So he was constantly under the curse.
Yeah.
So, you talk about authority, okay? So, Satan would bruise the heel, but the authority, Christ, the seed, would bruise his head.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, what? I saw Satan fall from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He told his disciples that. Why did he say he saw that? What had they been doing? What had his disciples been doing when he said that?
You've been using their authority to heal and cast out demonic presences.
Yes. Because Satan was what? Under their authority. He gave them authority to cast out demons, all these things. And when they went out and did it.
Yeah.
And when they did that, they exercised that authority that the seed gave them, Jesus had given them, Satan was crushed underneath their feet.
Yeah.
Crushed underneath their feet. Mm. So we have that authority. We have that authority because of Jesus, right? Where did Jesus get the authority?
Where did Jesus what?
Where did Jesus get the authority?
Jesus
came to earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had the authority to cast out demons,
mm-hmm.
right? The disciples got their authority from Jesus, mm-hmm. right? Where did Jesus get his authority?
He was born here.
He was born here. That is key. Did you hear that? Say that again.
He was born here.
Jesus was born where?
Here.
Here is what?
Earth.
Earth. Jesus was born on earth.
100% man.
100%. You get that? 100% man.
And 100% God.
And 100% God. But he was 100% man. Now, because he was born on earth as a man,
mm-hmm.
he had a right.
Yeah.
He had a right to something. He had authority.
Mm-hmm.
What did he have? Because he was born on earth as a man, mm-hmm. what did he have that he could use to cast out Satan?
The original Adamic, from Adam, that original authority that God gave to mankind.
Right, Adam's authority.
Adam's authority. What kind of authority did Adam have? Where does it say he had authority?
Over
the whole earth.
Okay, Genesis 1, 26, 27.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make man in my own image, said God, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let us make man in our own image. Mm-hmm. Having authority over all the earth, beasts, flying things, fish in the sea, over all the earth, he said.
Mm-hmm.
Over everything that was walking around or creeping around on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
God said, you man have authority.
Yeah.
I'm entrusting this one little bitty planet in this vast universe. I'm entrusting this one little bitty planet to you.
Uh-huh.
I'm keeping control of the whole universe, but this one little planet, you get control of it.
Yeah.
You have dominion over it. Let's see how you do, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like a king giving it to a prince, right?
Yeah.
I'm giving you this one little city in my whole kingdom,
mm-hmm.
one little bitty village. See how you do. You be the ruler over that one little city, and let's see how you do. Can you make it prosper? Can you make it grow?
Yeah.
Can you make it good?
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God did with us. With man.
Yeah.
He said, I'm giving you the whole earth. All right? So, make it look good.
Mm-hmm.
Make it do well.
Yeah. He gave him an example. He gave him the garden.
Make it the look garden like is the garden. An example. And he could rule over that.
Yeah.
How?
Because he had authority.
He had authority. Well, how did he exercise authority?
He spoke.
He spoke. That's how he exercised authority. How did Jesus cast out a demon?
He spoke.
With a
word. With his word.
With a word.
Mm-hmm.
He told them, shut up. And they couldn't speak. He told them to go. And they had to go.
Yeah.
They always have to go.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He told one of them, you leave and don't you come back again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You leave and don't you come back again. And leave
and
bother this person. Right? He spoke. It's that authority. So this is what we get. This is the, Jesus coming. Now, I'm not going to have enough time to do a proper thing of the next one, but I do want to read it so we can go with it. If you want to turn and look with me. Look at Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. And you can mull over it along with me in the coming week so that kind of get a hold of it here. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy is the number five of five in the Torah, in the first five books, the Pentateuch, as they say, books of the law. And it says, the Lord will raise up a prophet like me. Now, who's talking here? This is Moses. Moses is talking to the Israelites. And he's telling the Israelites some things that they need to know, they need to remember. And so Moses was a prophet. And he says, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me for you from among your relatives, from among your brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked from the Lord your God at Horeb when you were assembled together. Don't let us hear the voice of God our God again, the Lord our God again, or even see this great fire. Otherwise, we will die. Okay? They were saying, we don't want to interface directly with God. They were afraid to do that. They knew their sin, and they were afraid to interface and talk directly to God. Don't let us hear this voice of God ourselves, but go through you. They told Moses that. Then the Lord told me, what they have suggested is good. I will raise up a prophet like you from among their relatives, and I will place my words in his mouth so that he may expound everything that I have commanded to them. But if someone will not listen to those words that the prophet speaks in my name, I will hold him accountable. Now who is this being talked about? Who is this prophet that the Lord is going to raise up? And he's going to speak the words of God to Israel. He's going to raise him up from among the Israelites. He's going to be one of their tribes. He's going to come and he's going to speak the Lord's words. He's going to speak God's words to the Israelites.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a prophet like Moses was a prophet.
Yeah.
Now, Moses was kind of a special prophet, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Because he gave them the law.
Yeah.
Right? He gave him the law. What about this new prophet that's going to come? Is he going to be special?
He's not going to give
him
the law.
Yeah. He's going to fulfill it. So this is really an interesting thing, because what he advises the Israelites to do is what? What do you do with this prophet, Israelites, when he comes?
Listen to him.
Mm-hmm. You listen to him like you listen to Moses.
Yeah.
Moses gave you the law, and you wrote it in a book, and you said it was gospel, and you're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then when this new prophet mm-hmm. comes, you listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And you do what he says.
Yeah.
What did Moses change? Did he change anything when he came, when he gave them the law? Well, let's see, we had the Adamic covenant,
mm-hmm.
we had the Noah covenant,
yeah.
we had the Abraham covenant,
mm-hmm.
and the promises given to Isaac mm-hmm. and to Jacob,
mm-hmm.
right? That's five things.
Yep.
He says, I'm going beyond that, I'm going to show you. Moses says, I got something new. I got something new, I'm changing things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is something new. What did Jesus say when he came?
I got
something new for you.
Mm-hmm.
I got a new commandment.
Yeah.
I got something new for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is God still giving us new things?
To us is new.
If we listen, we got the Holy Spirit, don't we?
Yeah.
So he can always tell us new things. He can always tell us
greater,
new things.
Greater concepts.
Yeah. So, I'm going to stop there because we're out of time. And we'll pick that up back up and go on. So, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for loving us, being with us in all things. Father, we pray your blessings upon the food and our fellowship together. May we enjoy the company of each other. May we say good things and encourage one another. And may everything that we think, do, and say bring honor and glory to your name, Father. Amen. All right. So y'all keep your ears open and hear new things.
Yeah.
That God has given us, all right?
I've had a thought.
Glory to glory, right?
after reading Genesis is that God brought every animal to Adam to name. God created with speech. He ruled with, he created with the word. He ruled with the word. If Adam spoke the name of all of these animals, I really think that also gave him authority because he spoke the name of each animal.
And that was the respected name of that animal from that point.
From that point on. The giraffe is still a giraffe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's amazing. He had never been to college or anything, but he could name all of them.
All of the animals.
And they all named it.
Fit. And just think about it. We've lost thousands of types of animals off the planet. They've become extinct. But he still named all of those that were there.
And then what amazed me again about the animals again, when Noah was to build the ark, two by two, he didn't have to go out and look for those animals.
They came to him.
They came to him and lined up.
They wanted to help. They wanted to help.
Yeah.
Actually, they still do. Everything that, just like we want to serve God, we want to fulfill a purpose. We don't always know what to do, but we want to do something.
Did you see that the, which is true, this little boy got lost in the snow, and this moose came down and lay beside that kid, kept him warm through the night. And they found the little boy the next day and they took a picture of it. He said that this moose came and laid around him.